Ephesians, the fifth chapter, we begin reading God's holy and infallible word at verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This is God's holy and infallible word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Beloved in the Lord, our theme this morning from these words of the Apostle Paul is wise living. As we've considered this letter of the Apostle written to believers, new believers, he's been instructing them on the basis of what he wrote in the earlier part of Ephesians about being born into the family of God, transformed by sovereign grace, made heirs of God, children of God in Christ Jesus. He's begun a series of things in which he has instructed us and the Ephesians to whom he writes in holy living as children of God. How should we live our lives as Christians? And then as we come to the fifth chapter, he has been applying it into very specific situations. He becomes more narrow. In fact, as we will come to the latter part of the fifth chapter, we'll see that he narrows it even more so to the matter of wise living, godly living, living as a Christian within the bonds of marriage and within other relationships as well. Here at verse 15 is a turning point in his message and in his application that he's making. And you see that transition when he says in verse 15, look carefully then, sometimes translated in other ways as see to it then. And when you hear that transition, you know that everything that follows the words see to it are extremely important. If you don't know that, then you didn't listen to your parents very well either. Because if your parents, like my parents, would say, see to it that, everything that followed the word that, I made sure that I listened to very carefully. Because when you hear that firm tone and the words, see to it, what follows is important. And this is extraordinarily important. What follows is an inclusive term that Paul uses to cover the whole of life. And he says, see to it how you walk, not how you walk physically, but it's a word that describes the entirety of the spiritual life, the whole of your conduct, the whole manner and the whole tenor of your behavior is included in that term, walk. And Paul is addressing in a very comprehensive manner the way in which we are to conduct our lives in this world. And he sums it up by saying, see to it that you walk wisely, not as unwise, but determining what the will of the Lord is. Paul's exhortation is that we live this life, not living it in foolish ways, being unwise, but by being wise in the wisdom of the Lord and manifesting and exercising that wisdom in obedience to the word of God. So we'll begin by looking at that admonition, by looking at what he means by wise living. What is it that he means when he says live wisely? Wise living is, as he does in this passage, a contrast to the foolish kind of living that we had when we once were in an unsaved condition and lived according to the darkness of this world. See to it that you behave wisely, conduct your life wisely, and not living foolishly. Paul always uses contrasts, so those contrasts are used to help us to see clearly what he means. If he contrasts wise living with living as a fool, we need to understand what it means to live foolishly. To not live as a fool means, as Scripture will inform us, that we are not to live governed by our feelings, governed by our emotions, living at the by the, what we think at the moment without good, solid, sound reasoning. We take, for instance, that word of the Proverbs, the writer of Proverbs, the 12th chapter, where he says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. The writer of Proverbs does just what Paul does, contrasts wisdom with foolishness. And the writer of Proverbs sets before us an example of foolishness and says that person just simply does what's right in his own eyes. In other words, he doesn't accept, he doesn't receive, he doesn't seek counsel as to how he should act. There are many other places, but Proverbs is filled with such admonitions. There's another verse, well known, I'm sure, to most of us. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's that constant contrast between what is good and wise and what is foolish. And Paul warns us, even in this passage, that we, like the writer of Proverbs, are to walk in wisdom, not foolishly, not governed by emotions, governed by desire. We see that so often. I must have what I like, and what I like is right. The world today says that whatever you want, as long as it doesn't harm someone else, it's all right. But that's the standard. There's no higher standard, which we believe to be present, which is the Word of God. But a society in which we live leads to breakdowns in every facet of society because people want what they want, and they take what they want, and they do not care about the consequences of what happens afterwards. Governed by impulses, governed by their own personal instinct, which of course, by nature and by definition, is fallen and sinful. Governed by zeal, the fool rushes in. Nothing wrong with zeal, but zeal without knowledge, the Bible tells us, is dangerous. Someone has said, fire is a good servant, but a bad master. Now, look at what's happened when you've seen fires consume, as we recently did, saw a fire consume a home nearby where we live. It is a good servant, but a bad master. Zeal is like that. It can lead to fanaticism. It can lead to cruelty. It can lead to persecution. The foolish person trusts in his own zeal. He doesn't think things through adequately. I'm right. I don't consider the consequences if I'm acting foolishly, acting impatiently. The Proverbs writer tells us about that as well. Living for the moment. Someone has said, the way of a fool is characteristic of a child. A child does not wait. A child is not patient. A child does not exercise control over himself or herself. A child can be foolish in many ways. Paul is telling us, like the writer of Proverbs and all of Scripture, that's not how we are to act. We are to act in contrast to that, in wisdom. Wisdom is not merely great ability, natural powers and faculties of the mind, but it is the power and the ability to apply all of those things in the right way. It's the faculty for making use of your intelligence and knowledge and for bringing it into a relationship with the ordinary and the practical daily things of life in a way that's honoring to God. It's a person who thinks carefully through and examines things carefully, receives recommendations, evaluates them, and applies them wisely to given situations, gives a fair and a balanced hearing to matters before him. Wisdom is evident in a person who listens. That person who listens gathers data, gathers the facts before making a judgment, taking all of those facts, sifting them, weighing them, evaluating them, and then on the basis of that reasoned judgment, making that decision. Examining the things in the light of eternal and fundamental principles rather than living as the fool who lives for the moment. Be wise, not foolish, Paul says. Now, how do you get to that place of being wise and not foolish? Because, of course, by nature, we still have that old nature with which we battle constantly. We still battle those instincts, impulses that are not measured or are not suppressed by wisdom that is from on high. How do we get to be what Paul calls us to be in this passage? Well, first of all, I would remind you that Paul is addressing the Christian. He is addressing the Christians of Ephesus and the Christian today in this admonition to live wisely. And remember that as he addresses the Christian, whom he has described thoroughly in the earlier part of Ephesians, he is describing the Christian who, as he writes to the Colossian church, is joined together with Jesus Christ, who has all of the treasures of wisdom. Colossians 2 verse 3 tells us that. We're joined together with Jesus. We have in him that great resource to enable us to be wise and to live in accordance with this admonition from the Word of God. The Christian is the one who can live wisely, because the Christian is the only one who has received the revelation of these principles that govern our hearts and our lives under the way and the will of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Christian who has had his eyes open to the truth that God has redeemed us, made us his own. God has transformed our minds and our hearts, and God is in charge of everything. That's why we sing that great hymn of the faith, "This is my Father's world." The Christian recognizes that God is over all, and that God dwells within us by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. He is resident within the believer, and the controlling force of love that gives the power to enable us to live for Jesus Christ comes from that indwelling presence of God, the Spirit who dwells within our hearts, enabling us now to live and to operate with a new mind, with a new ability, according to a new principle, submitting our lives to the Word of the living God. So Paul is going to go on and kind of conclude this sentence by saying, live in a way that pleases the Lord. It's only the Christian who can know how to live and how to please the Lord. And he tells us that we can do that by examining what God has given us and understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understanding what the will of the Lord is comes by paying careful attention, as another translation translates that. He says here in our translation, live circumspectly or walk in wisdom. Another translation says by paying careful attention, understand the will of God. The Christian, indwelt by the Spirit, governed by the Spirit of God, does not rush into things first without examining things carefully, not impulsively, irrationally, but carefully in the light of Scripture, acting in obedience to God, constantly reminding himself or herself that he or she is a Christian. So Paul would write in Colossians in another place, let your speech be always with grace. Paul applies it even to the very words we say. Speech seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The application of the Word of God even comes down to the very thoughts and the words that we speak. That's what we need to do. Pay very careful attention to what God says, and then understand the time. He wants us to make best use of the time that God has given us. And it's the Christian who understands that we live in a conflict, that we live in a conflict between good and evil, that we live in a world that is in rebellion against God, a world that rejects the Christian's way of life, a world that rejects the Christian value system, a world that rejects Christian thinking outrightly. Incidentally, that's why in our interaction with the world, it's much more effective to evangelize than it is to try to just get people to change our minds and change their minds. There are many people who would suggest that we need to pummel our legislators with our telephone calls and with our letters and get their vote to vote the right way. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's something that we ought to do. But that's not the legislator's greatest need. The greatest need of our legislators is to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, by being saved by grace, a salvation that comes by the power of God through the gospel that overcomes sin. Because if you just get a legislator that votes the way you want, and you can say, wow, you know, we as Christians have sort of won the battle on that front. Let's hypothetically say that we can convince our legislators to reverse the decision on abortion. That would be wonderful. That would be great. But beloved in the Lord, those are simply going to be legislators that are going to go to a Christless eternity in hell if those legislators, having made the right decision on abortion, be it all, that may be, if they don't know Jesus, their eternal welfare is at stake. That's what is supremely important. And the Christian needs to understand that. When it says understand and use your time wisely, understanding the times is understanding that the world needs Jesus and that we are involved in a great battle in this world. And the greatest need of the Christian is to be armed with the armor of God in this battle and submit to do the will and the work of God. And incidentally, that's what Paul's going to pick up and talk about in the sixth chapter when he talks about the armor of God. But here he says, buy up every opportunity, redeem the time. Use your time wisely. Understand the times. Use your time wisely. Don't waste it. Capitalize on it. Use it for the work of the kingdom of God. Delighting in God's word, as the psalmist in Psalm 1 says, don't stand in the way of sinners. That's not the right use of time, but delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. That's what understanding the will of God is all about. And for the Christian, to understand the will of God, we must understand and we must know and we must study the word of God. That's why the scriptures are preached. That's why we have Sunday school for a corporate study. That's why believers ought to be reading and studying the scripture. As you study the word of God, as you read the word of God, you begin to find in the word of God, through the ministry of the Spirit of God, the truth by which you are able to live wisely, not as foolish, but living wisely and as unto the Lord. A wise person wants to be light in this world of darkness and sin. To be light in this world of darkness and sin is much, much more than just holding a sign up that protests something that the world is doing. It is to know the Word of God and how to apply that Word of God to the needs of individuals who are outside of the kingdom of God. When we are called to be a light in this world, it's not to pat ourselves on the back that we have it right and the world has it wrong and they ought to get it right before. No, the world needs to have us shine as a beacon, as that lighthouse, showing the way to Jesus Christ, that they may know him whom to know is life eternal. Beloved, if you want to let your light shine before the world, live wisely, not as foolish, but wisely. Buy up every opportunity, understand the will of the Lord, and your light will become a beacon that others may see Jesus and be brought into the kingdom of God and live to the glory of Jesus Christ. And that's the call of every believer, every Christian, by the Lord himself, who sends us forth into the world to bring the gospel that those who do not know may hear and believe. May God enable us, equip us, and bless us for that work. Amen.